Welcome to the Play Your Way podcast. I am your host, Brian Miller.
And I am your other host, Ethan Mace.
Today we will be taking a look at 2021 and discuss the games we intend to play, which include games we are excited to be released as well. And at the end, we'll be taking a look at our fantasy releases that we would love to see announced in 2021, despite their lack of reality. Don't forget, be sure to follow us on Twitter at PYW Podcast and Instagram at the PYW Podcast. All right, let's jump right into it. Ethan, what's that first game on your 2021 list?
So for me, this is something that I've talked about on the past two podcasts kind of extensively. Fire Emblem as a whole, you know? Right. For me, I really want to play through that entire series. So for these next few games, I'm going to talk about some of the ones that really stand out to me and the ones that I'm really excited to get into. But first on the list, the first one I'm going to talk about is the one that I'm currently playing through. I'm almost halfway done with Fire Emblem 4 or Fire Emblem Genealogy of the Holy War.
Right. Which, I remember when we were still talking about this before even recording episode one.
Right. Yeah, no, I've been talking about it forever. I mean, I remember I started playing, or I played it for the first time months ago, and I stopped playing it after like the prologue because it was such a different way to play Fire Emblem than what I was used to. The like a big thing with those games is the combat forecast. You can use them to get a sense on what's going to happen when you move a unit into combat. And Genealogy of the Holy War, you know, doesn't have a lot of the modern features on it. It requires you to do a lot more, you know, math and the combat forecast than you would normally have to do.
Right.
Like in a modern game, you are required, like it'll tell you like how much damage you're going to do against an opponent if you move up to attack them, and if you're going to double them, like if you're going to hit them twice. In Genealogy of the Holy War, in Genealogy of the Holy War, it doesn't tell you that. It tells you how much attack you have, how much defense they have, and like how much health each of you have, and that's pretty much like the and your like hit percentages and whatnot. So you have to do the math in your head of subtracting their defense from your attack to get an idea of how much damage you're going to do. But you also need to look at what your speed is, subtract your weapon weight from that speed, and then look at what their speed is and subtract their weapon weight from that speed to see if you're faster than them and if you even have the right skill to double. So like, it's a very unique way to play Fire Emblem. I don't think any other game in the series does it quite like that one does.
Okay.
But it's been a lot of fun up to this point. The maps in the game are ginormous. I've spent so much time playing this game, and like most Fire Emblem games, the chapters go into like the 20s or 30s. Genealogy of the Holy War has a prologue and then like 11 chapters after that. So like chapter wise, it's significantly shorter than the rest of the games, but I feel like I've already put in more time on that than I put in on like a lot of other Fire Emblem games that I've played.
Right.
Just because of how enormous the map sizes are, it's a full length game. Even though there's not a ton of chapters to it, the story to the game is phenomenal. I've enjoyed every minute of it up to this point. I am very excited to keep going. I'm almost to the midway point where you kind of get into the next generation of the game, and I cannot wait to experience that.
Okay, that sounds actually pretty fun. Okay. So with my 2021 list, it's kind of interesting that it worked out this way. There's actually 21 games I intend to play, and that was not necessarily intentional. These are just games I have left on my backlog, and my goal for 2021 is to literally complete my backlog. I know some gamers out there, like, they never reach the end of their backlog. It just stays a backlog. But my goal is to literally not buy a game until this backlog is finished. So I'm going to be discussing the 21 games that I have on my backlog, starting with the first five. Number one, Banjo-Kazooie, the classic, the N64.
Yeah.
That should be pretty fun. I played Grunty's Revenge on the Game Boy Advance, which I will admit is a bit unique to start out with for the Banjo-Kazooie series, but that's okay. We're going to get to the classic in 2021 this year. Number two, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. It's only natural. I got to play the entire series, and I've heard not so good things about this game, but with enhanced graphics compared to the N64 version, because this is on the Xbox 360, I actually think this could be fun to just check out and to really enjoy and really see what more Banjo-Kazooie as a series has to offer. Number three, going with the GameCube, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg, which is a very underrated and might even be a hidden gem on the GameCube. Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg, developed by Sega, Sega game, which is interesting. Definitely see some Sonic vibes in there, but yeah, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg for number three. Number four, Catherine. Now, this list is not in any order, and Catherine might be at the very end of this list, because what I forgot to say is I am currently on Persona 5 Royal as we speak. My goal is by the end of January is to actually complete that game, which would be pretty impressive because I know we've talked about this. I had like unrealistically, or you could say realistically, had like 5 months dedicated to just give this game a play, because I knew it was an expansive game.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know how expansive, so.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give it its respect. I mean, I'm very happy watching, you know, I like watching you play the game. I think it's been, you know, a lot of fun for that.
Right.
Your streams have been really good. I guess we're going to date this recording a little bit. Yesterday, you got to my favorite palace in the game. And
yes.
I'm very excited to see how you react to it as you play through it.
Yeah, the sixth palace. We're going to find out. I'm going to put in some more hours today. I might do it off stream. I might do it on stream. We'll see. But yeah, sixth palace. I'm nearing towards the end. I've put in the work. I'm almost there. January, end of it. The goal. We're going to have Persona 5 Royal, the first game completed on 2021 list. And because of that, just so much Atlas, so much Persona.
Right.
Catherine's probably going to have to be bumped up down in the 20s just to give me a break from, you know, the content, which again, I've heard good things about Catherine. I'll be playing the 360 version. I'm not going to be playing the definitive full body version. That's just the one I have, but it'll be fun nonetheless.
I say, would you go back and play the full body version at some point? Or I know how you are about redoing things, but from what I've gathered, it does add like some new content. I know it adds a new character and whatnot. So would you consider ever going back and playing the full bodied if you liked Catherine enough?
Yes and no. And okay. Probably leaning towards the no. And the reason being is I've heard a lot of people say the actual gameplay itself gets repetitive. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, I don't know if I could even, you know, attempt the same game-ish again with gameplay. I know I'm probably going to find it repetitive. Just watching gameplay footage of the game,
understandable.
I already see it's kind of repetitive. I might do some digging and some research to figure out what, you know, the definitive version adds, but I don't know. And we've discussed this, I wanted to play Persona 5, just the base game, just, you know, for the simplicity of it, and you wouldn't let me. And, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
Which I'm okay with at this point now. I'm kind of glad if I'm going to go full throttle Persona 5 Royal, you know, I gotta go with the definitive version.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's just so much. Royal added so much content, you know, and that really, like, I mean, the best part of the game is the third semester. Yeah, I really wouldn't, you know, want to see you miss out on something like that. I mean, third semester, I think that could be just a podcast topic in itself one day.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think
keep that in mind.
I that's how highly I think of the third semester.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to take a little, you know, with the microscope over the third semester in Persona 5, just so I could get some ideas, maybe kind of take it in a little bit more in case we do want to do a future episode.
Okay.
Lastly, number five in this section of my 2021 games, Conker's Bad Fur Day. I actually remember getting this at the retro game store locally here, and I traded in a good pile of games to get it. It had a $90 price tag, but I was trading in games, so I paid like, you know, $10, give or take. Classic N64 game, don't know much about it. I know enough to know, but that'll be on the 2021 list. So I'll go ahead and bounce it back to you. What's the second game on your list?
Actually, before I get back into my games, I want to hit on a few things real quick. Yeah. I know we've talked about Conker a few times where...
Right.
I'm real interested to see how you handle Conker. I don't... The humor in that game, I wonder how it's going to resonate with you. It should be interesting to see. I'm sure we'll talk about it on here and get that out there for everybody to hear. But I'm glad that, you know, despite how, you know, Banjo, Grunty's Revenge, I think that was the one you played this year or last year, was your worst game of the year. I'm glad that you're still wanting to go back and play the other ones. That's nice to see.
That's a good point that you make, and the reason being is, again, usually people don't start out with Grunty's Revenge as their first Banjo game, and I know its place as a Game Boy Advance game, and it's, again, not your normal Banjo-Kazooie. With that being said, I think it's fair enough I should at least play the original, and then we can make our decision, you know?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So moving on to my next game in the Fire Emblem series. Now, I'm not going to talk about every single game, but for these next few, it's going to sound like I'm talking about every single game in the series. Fire Emblem 5, Thracia 776. So Thracia 776, I know, well, you'll see why it's got a weird name kind of like that. Thracia 776 is kind of a midquel. The way genealogy works is genealogy... takes place, it's got two generations, generation one and generation two, and in between those generations there's a time skip. Thracia 776 takes place in between the time skip, so it's a bit of a midquel in a way.
Okay.
And from what most people say, the hardest game in the series. Now
you up for the challenge? I see.
I am. I told you this with genealogy. Genealogy, I've enjoyed the challenge with it, which has been surprising for me because I know, you know, you're very open about how you prefer to play games, you know, easy mode and whatnot. And for my entire life, I've pretty much been that way too. Now, there's been a few times I've changed my stance on that. For like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, I played the game on normal for some reason. I don't know why I did. But I was glad I did, because when I was looking online for like people just talking about that game, I was hearing how people who played that game on easy were just not enjoying it that much. And I was having a great time with the game. And eventually I figured out, well, if you're playing it on easy, it kind of just turns the game into a hack and slash, where if you play the game on normal, it kind of does bring in a bit of like a strategy, kind of a mindset when you're fighting things and whatnot, which was cool. And then with Aegis Rim, I played that entire game on normal because it did a really cool thing where, and I mentioned this to you, it did a really cool thing where you played the destruction aspect of the game before it ever lets you pick the difficulty. So you played through the game to get a sense of how difficult it was, and then you picked the difficulty, which was cool. And I played through the game. I was like, well, this isn't really that challenging. I don't need to put it on easy. I'll just leave it on normal. And I beat that entire game on normal. It got challenging in a few aspects, but it was a good challenge. I liked it enough, and it's gotten me to the point where I'm willing to start kind of branching out and challenging myself a little bit more. Nothing like Dark Souls levels or anything like that, you know. But I am excited to kind of challenge myself with Thracia and see if I can handle a game like that. Now we'll see. It'll be difficult, but I'm excited for it. I'm definitely want to see it. I know a lot of people like that game a lot. I know a lot of people are scared of that game. I want to see it for myself and see what it's like.
All right, jumping back into my list, and with the rate we're going, I'm going to discuss in threes. We'll kind of bounce it back and forth. Number six on my list, Donkey Kong 64. And you're going to see a trend here with some N64 games on the list here. I've never played a Donkey Kong game, and so I'm actually kind of interested to jump into the Donkey Kong series, with 64 being the first one, because I'm not the best at platformers, if I'm being completely honest, so I'm much more interested in the 3D action adventure style that Donkey Kong 64 is in. So we'll see how that goes. It might have actually been the very first N64 game I purchased, so that'll be cool going back to that. Number 7, Kirby Planet Robobot. I have mixed feelings about this game because Nikki actually recently played this game, and she played it for like 30 minutes and already decided she was not going to play it anymore, which is odd because this is usually considered a good Kirby game. And for reasons I've kind of understood from people, but she said it was too easy for her and moved on.
Have you ever played a Kirby game before, or is this like your first one?
This would be my first one.
Oh, wow. Growing up, I played like Nightmare and Dreamland. I think that was my first one I ever played, which I think like a lot of Kirby games are really just similar to each other. There's not, because if you go on like the virtual, or not the virtual console, like if you go on the Switch and you play like the NES and the SNES Kirby's on there, they're all like very similar to like, at least from what I remember of Nightmare and Dreamland. And I can't remember the one that came after it, but there was another Game Boy one after Nightmare and Dreamland that had multiplayer, like up to like 4-player multiplayer, which was a neat idea. But I mean, I remember all those games just kind of like being very similar to each other. So I wonder how you could change it that much to where it's like this game is too easy. I don't want to play this anymore.
Well, from what I've seen, it actually kind of breaks that norm in a little bit, with actually having a robot suit that Kirby gets into and like plays the game that way. It breaks the norm just a little bit. I will admit, when I first got a 3DS, I did play the demo on the eShop of this game. And I'm not going to lie, it was very easy. And again, this is coming from me, someone who does not enjoy hard games and who's not that good when it comes to video games in general. So I usually play on easy, and usually easy is normal for me. So when I say a game is easy, I really mean it. Again, I only played the demo. Nikki said it was too easy. She put it down in the first 30 minutes to an hour. We'll see. I'm hoping it's not going to be a game I put down, but we'll see.
I mean, if you think it's easy, then yeah, that's really saying something to me, you know, that like not that you're not good, but I know how you prefer easy games.
Yes.
You know?
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you're like, wow, this is really easy, then well,
sure.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll see. We're going to find out here this year. But the last game on my list for this section, number 8, Paper Mario and the Origami King, which is actually going to be the next game I plan on playing and streaming after Persona 5 Royal. Again, and we've discussed this before, once I play a 360 game or a PlayStation game or anything non-Nintendo, I get my Nintendo withdrawals and I have to jump right back to Nintendo, especially after a very lengthy Persona 5. I'm really excited to get back into Nintendo with Paper Mario the Origami King, which has kind of been split down the middle in terms of people liking it, people not really caring for it. All in all, the majority of people tend to say the localization and the humor and the writing is pretty phenomenal in this game, and as someone who is looking forward to something like that, I'm excited to start playing it. So
yeah, I mean, that's always important stuff. You want to see that like localization is handled with care and whatnot. I remember hearing, I think like a lot of people were complaining, like a lot of the RPG mechanics of it were just kind of like not as prevalent. I think that was maybe what some of the issues some people were having. I can't remember exactly, but
yeah.
I mean, I've played like bits and pieces of the original Paper Mario, but I don't really have too much experience with those games, but they've always seemed pretty interesting.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited to jump into it. I'll bounce the ball back to you. What's next on your list?
So the next game on my list is Fire Emblem Binding Blade.
Okay.
So this is the game that has everybody's favorite Fire Emblem character in it, Roy. Now, the issue with the game itself is that a lot of people complain about the game. It makes some weird choices in how it does like hit rates, and Roy in himself is actually a bad unit in the game. He's not good to use. It's really funny. Yeah, like a lot of people who don't play that game don't know that he's actually kind of a struggle to use in that game. But there is a hack for the game out there called Project Ember that seeks to kind of improve upon, or not necessarily improve on the game, but just make some changes to kind of make, you know, the game a little bit more, better in ways that I think, at least. Maybe not better for everybody, but I think the changes that it implements would be better. So I intend to play through Binding Blade with the Project Ember hack on it to just get through that game, and I'm very excited for it. I can't wait to go through that story and play as Roy and have my only impression of him as a very OP unit, just like I always thought he was playing with him in like Melee and in Ultimate now too. But yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing video games, and while I'm moving on to game-to-game, you're going to be, man, full throttle Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem for like 6 months to 8 months. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not to... I don't think I'll be able to play them all in order. Like, I mean, there's going to be more games that I'm going to be talking about in a second. I've only got probably one more Fire Emblem segment to hit on after this one, and then I'm going to be jumping into the rest of the games that I want to play. But they'll probably be broken up. I'm not going to play them all back to back to back to back because I'll probably go crazy if I do that. But
true, good point.
But I want to play all of them next year. Now, how realistic that is, we'll see. But that is the plan, to try to get through all of them next year.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see where we end. Yeah. And where we've come with our goals for sure. So jumping back into my list here, we are on number 9, which is a game we already discussed, Persona 5 Royal, because I should have put that in number 1. So actually, number 10, Pokemon Black. And I highlighted this one. I highlighted 3 games that I'm actually really looking forward to the most out of the 21 game list. And that is Pokemon Black. Why this Pokemon game? I don't know why. Because when I look at Soul Silver, I tell people it's my favorite Pokemon game I've never played, just because I like Generation 2 starters so much, and just Generation 2 Pokemon so much. I look at, you know, Pokemon Diamond, which is on this list as well, and, you know, it's the last Pokemon game I really ended off as a kid, so there's a lot of, like, nostalgia for it to go back and play it, and I never finished that game. But Pokemon Black, there's just such a mysteriousness to it. I know a lot of Pokemon players who love the single player game, you know, single player aspect of Pokemon, really herald this game as, like, if you want story, that's not like any other Pokemon game, Pokemon Black and White is the go-to.
Right. Yeah, I've played a little bit of Black. Now, speaking of ROM hacks, I'm playing, like, Blaze Black, and I'll get back to that at some point. But like, are you thinking about also doing like Black 2 at some point, or is it just Black for now? Is that maybe another year, maybe you get to Black 2?
Exactly, yeah, just Black for now, just to keep it simple when I get my Pokemon kick back in, which it'll be lifelong, it'll be jumping into Black 2.
Okay.
So, yep. Yeah, Pokemon Black. It's the only Pokemon game that I'm really, really, really looking forward to. I'm excited to play all the other ones, but that one's kind of, you know, high on the list, and I do want to kind of go in order, so I'll probably hit up Pokemon Diamond next, go with Soul Silver, and then jump to Black, but that'll be on the list for 2021. Number 11, Pokemon Colosseum. I started this game actually in 2020, early 2020. It might have been 2019 actually. Played like 30 minutes of it just to get a feel for it. And I never picked it back up, but once I pick it back up this year, I'm going all in and completing it. I'm a little scared because I've heard the difficulty is actually not easy. There's some difficulty there from what I've heard from some reviews I've seen. So we'll see. Thankfully I do have a Pokemon background, so hopefully I can make my way through it, but we'll see.
I've played a little bit. I can't remember how difficult it was or wasn't, you know? But, I mean, the game itself was always a fun concept. I mean, it was a home console Pokemon game.
Yep.
That wasn't like Stadium or anything like that. It was an actual adventure that you could go on. It was a really neat idea, and they didn't do it again until, as far as I know, I can't remember, other than, you know, the sequel, obviously. They didn't do it again until, you know, Sword and Shield. And I think a lot of people prefer, you know, Colosseum and its sequel to Sword and Shield.
Yeah, for sure. It is a bit odd. The thing that people want most, Nintendo is like, we're not going to give it to you just yet, or we're going to make you wait.
Nintendo is very like, we do things a specific way, and
yep,
and if you don't like that, well, that's a little too bad.
Exactly. And then lastly, for this section, number 12, Pokemon Diamond, like I just mentioned, I already hit on it. Last game I played as a child, so going back to it, especially knowing that I never finished the game, should be pretty fun. It'll be the next Pokemon game I play, and I keep glancing at it. I've even brought it to work. Usually I like to put in like 45 minutes on my break in the car at work. Usually I read a book, but I'm kind of all out of books at this point. So I'm like, let's put in some work on a DS game here since the portability. And I brought it to work. I haven't started it. But it'll be one of those DS adventures on break at work. It'll be fun.
Yeah, not bad. I think I may have asked you this before, but I can't quite remember the answer. What was it that it made you want to go Diamond over Platinum?
I think the simple reason that I had Diamond as a kid, and also, again, we literally just said this. I said this to you before we went live and to record this episode. Most of my choices I make in life are going to be in the minority. I am not the normal person when it comes to choices that I make. I make wise decisions, but that doesn't mean I make normal decisions. And now you can make an argument, well, Platinum is the wiser choice. However, again, I like simplistic. I like not extensive. I like, you know, just give me my cup and I'll drink it and we're gonna move on. Don't give me a gallon, you know, just give me my cup. So that being said, Diamond over Platinum. I don't really want to explore these alternate universes or spaces or times that I've heard very vaguely. I don't know a ton about what Platinum has to offer, but usually just give me the, you know, base game and I'll be satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, story-wise for me, it really wouldn't be the story that draws me to these ones, like these whole package ones, like Platinum or like Emerald and whatnot. For me, what draws me to them is the like you're not version split on Pokemon as much anymore. Like you have your whole natural choice. I think in Platinum you pick a starter and then like you go to like the next city and you can just get gifted like the rest of the starters also. And
did not know that.
Yeah. And I think you get like a Gen 1 or a Gen 2 starter. I can't remember exactly. Yeah. Platinum is an odd one. It's definitely, it's strange in how it works. But for me, I always like that they did back in the day when they did the, okay, you know, we did this. Now we're going to draw, like we did, like Ruby, Sapphire, now we're going to drop Emerald. We did Diamond and Pearl, we're going to drop Platinum. Like I've always loved those those ideas, and because it to me it kind of justifies like the third game.
Yeah. So what's next on your list?
So moving on to the last Fire Emblem games that I'm going to be talking about in this segment, those games are the games from the Telios Saga. They are Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, and Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. Those games are the ones that have Ike in them, and I have always been pretty interested in playing them. Now, I actually have already started playing Path of Radiance a while ago, but I stopped playing it because I ultimately decided that I wanted to start playing in these games in order from genealogy. So I like pressed pause on that and was like, well, I'll pick it back up from there once we get back to that point. But you know, a lot of people consider these games to be their favorite in the series, and I'm very excited to get to that point and, you know, experience that for myself and see, you know, what it's like. I know the story can get a little weird in some places, and the gameplay can be a little iffy in some places, but you know, it's the favorite for reasons, you know, for, you know, and you know, you don't just get that, you know, you don't just get have that given to you. You got to earn that. So I want to see that for myself and really experience it.
Yeah, exactly. And I know we've kind of discussed a bit back and forth as well, because I want to get into the Fire Emblem games. And I was like, yeah, I texted you one day. I was like, I think I want Path of Radiance to be my number one Fire Emblem game, mainly because of the GameCube. I love the GameCube. I'm like, this would be a cool. And you were like, eh, stick with Three Houses. I was like, eh, okay.
Right. I mean, I can attest to Three Houses. I've beat it many times. Yeah. That it's very easy for a newcomer to get into the series from there.
Right.
From, you know, what I've played of Path of Radiance up to this point, it's not the toughest place for a newcomer to come in at, but knowing how you are, I don't know that that would be the best place for you to dip your toe into the water of the Fire Emblem series. I definitely think Three Houses would be the best place to come into it at.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, for sure. Bounce it back to me for my list. We've still on the Pokemon kick. We're still on the Pokemon series. Now, again, I'm kind of like you. I bounce back and forth, so I'm not going to be playing, you know, all the Pokemon games in, you know, back to back to back. But for the list's sake, number 13, Pokemon Soul Silver. Again, I'll say it again. It's the Pokemon game I've never played. That is my favorite. I just love the Generation 2 Pokemon. Number 14, Pokemon X. Which was actually going to be the next game I played after Sun last year, only because at the time, that's the other Pokemon game that I had. I didn't have Diamond, Soul Silver, Emerald, none of those at the time, but I acquired those this past year towards the end. But now Pokemon X will be the last game I play, since I want to start going back in order and kind of follow through the generations. I know enough to know it's, you know, it's a mediocre Pokemon title, nothing too crazy, but it's a Pokemon game nonetheless, so I'm looking forward to checking it out. And number 15, you're going to love this one, Star Wars The Knight of the Old Republic on the original Xbox, so that should be fun. I don't have much to say about it, but other than they're heralded as great Star Wars games, I love the original Xbox, and we shall see how that goes.
Yeah, Matt. We talked about this on episode 1 a lot. I love Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2. Two more than one, but I still love the first one a lot. I think it's a very good game. I'm also interested to see you experience Soul Silver. I've had my experiences with that game. I've talked about it with you a lot. And so I'm hoping things go a little bit better for you than they have gone for me up to this point.
Well, you know that's probably not going to be the case, but we shall definitely see.
Right. So, back to me. Since we're done talking about Fire Emblem, we're going to go ahead and get into another series that I spend the majority of my time talking about. We're going to get into the Persona series. This is the game that I am looking forward to more than any other game next year. Persona 5 Strikers. Now, Brian, you can attest to this. I have been talking about and being very frustrated about this game for the better part of 2020. Right. It was very, very difficult to... There was no information coming out on it at all. Mm-hmm. The game came out in Japan in February, and there was just no news of a localization and other areas were getting it, and we just continued to have silence on it. The only information we were getting was from like Koei Tecmo, like financial reports and like patent registrations and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's not a great way to try to get information about a game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so eventually we get to the point where the trailer finally drops, and I text you the morning I saw it. Yeah, out of nowhere. And I text you the morning I saw it. I was so excited for that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot wait to play Persona 5 Strikers. I feel like the Warriors style of games fits perfectly to Persona 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it fits to really any Persona game as a whole, but I really think Persona 5, you know, with the Phantom Thieves cast and whatnot, and how they kind of play, I feel like they really fit into that mold of a game, like, perfectly. I'm very excited to experience that and see what it's like. I can't get here soon enough for me.
For sure. Next on my list is number 16, Super Mario 64. Once again, N64 classic. I will probably end up playing this on the Switch just because of the accessibility, easier to stream as well. So, looking forward to that game ish. It's heralded as a classic. It might be a little difficult to play just because it's, you know, the first 3D Mario game, but we'll see. We'll find out for ourselves, I guess. But number 17, Super Mario Sunshine, which I'm actually really looking forward to playing. One, it's a GameCube title. Love all GameCube titles. And it's ironically split down the middle. People love it or people hate it. People love the mechanics or they hate it. I love the context of Super Mario Sunshine. I'm excited to play it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you hit on something there. I didn't know that for a good while until like the recent like edition, what was it, the re-release came out on the Switch.
Yep.
I didn't know that people were so conflicted about Sunshine. I always thought it was universally loved. I loved it when I played it. I thought it was a phenomenal game. But yeah, there's a contingent of people out there who do not like Super Mario Sunshine at all. I think it's a very, very fun game. I like it a lot. Of all three of those games on there, on that like collection, it and Galaxy really battle it out. I think I might like it more than Galaxy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And then lastly on this section is number 18, The Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks. And now we're getting into the Zelda series that I do want to finish this year. Spirit Tracks. People say that Spirit Tracks or trains don't go well and mesh well with the Zelda series because of like the timeline and just, you know, when Zelda takes place. I get that, but I also think trains, for whatever odd random reason, is a great mashup with the Zelda series, like especially with like the Toon Link. It's just unique. It's creative. I don't know a whole lot of other games that actually incorporate like trains and stuff. However, Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box does incorporate trains, though.
Yeah, I've never played Spirit Tracks, but it's always intrigued me. I think I will at some point. Maybe after you play, I might wait till then, or maybe I might till you start and then I'll play around the same time.
Yeah.
But I've always been intrigued by it. Yeah, the idea of the train as a whole just was, it seems weird but also kind of interesting at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
It is very it's very unique, and because there's no other, I don't think there's any other Zelda game that does anything quite like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So moving on to my next game on the list, the SMT Nocturne remake. So I actually have a pretty unique experience with SMT Nocturne. Brian knows a little bit about this. I actually started playing Nocturne earlier in 2020, around like when the lockdown took place. I was just looking for games to play, and I had always wanted to, you know, like get into SMT and whatnot after I got into Persona. So I know Nocturne was loved by everybody, so I bought it and was playing it. And shortly after I played it, I think literally like a week or two after I started playing it, they announced the remake for Nocturne. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not gonna play Nocturne anymore. I'm just gonna wait for the remake to come. I mean, because it's coming relatively soon, I would imagine. right? I think.
Yeah. February? I might have that big wrong.
I don't know if they've given a date yet.
I think they've given a date for Nocturne, but they have not given a date for Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Yeah, we'll get into that one in a second.
Yeah, but I remember that very vividly, though. How lucky can you be, though, to like, yeah, I'm going to start this game, this classic game, and then out of nowhere when you're playing it, early on enough to kind of put it down and wait that, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, a remake is coming on, you know, the most portable new right. Nintendo console. Wow, how convenient.
It's very convenient, very lucky. I wish they would have announced it about 2 weeks earlier. Save me a little bit of money, but sure. But nonetheless, it's nice. I'm very happy with it. I cannot wait to get my hands on that and start going through that and really experience, because the little bit that I did play of it, I enjoyed a lot. I mean, you talk about SMT as a whole, you can talk about a series that'll challenge you. I cannot wait to go through that.
For sure. I don't actually think it has a release date. I thought it did, ironic enough.
I think it has a release window of like spring. But spring. Right. If I had to guess, because I think, what did they say the release date for Strikers is? February 23rd, if I remember off the top of my head?
I think so.
So yep. If I had to guess, I would say the Nocturne remake is going to come out probably sometime around late March to April, I would say.
Okay.
Late March maybe being a little unrealistic because of how soon that would be to Strikers, but probably around like April-ish, I would say, is when that comes out. That puts it relatively the same amount of relative 6-ish months from when it released in Japan, which is their typical time. Now, obviously, with the pandemic and whatnot, localization times or traditional localization times, you can kind of throw those out the window. There's no telling how long it could take, so it could be later than that, but too much later than that, and you're going to lose your spring window. So,
right, exactly. So, moving on to my last three games of 2021. Oh man, number 19, Legend of Zelda: The Minish Cap. What a small, short, cute Zelda game, from what I've heard. Nikki actually beat this game in 2019 and watched a little bit of it. I actually read the manga, funny enough, for the collector's edition of the Legend of Zelda manga that I know you recently just bought as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I might actually play this after Paper Mario the Origami King, but we'll see. We'll see.
I've actually played Minish Cap. I like Minish Cap a lot. It's been a while. I don't remember a ton about it, but I do remember having fond memories of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you'll like that one.
Okay, yeah, I'm excited for it. Number 20, The Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker. Now, this one, again, this is another one that is one of the top three that I'm really looking forward to, and I forgot to mention Super Mario Sunshine is the second one out of the three I'm really looking forward to. But yeah, The Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker, which I know we've discussed, I might actually have to borrow your Wii U just so I can play the HD version. So
well,
I can
welcome
just
to.
Get the crispness. And also I know they fixed some stuff that I've heard is pretty annoying in the original.
Yeah, so. they resolved, and there's an issue, I think in the original GameCube, like there's a quest in the game that's just kind of frustrating for people. I think they made it a little bit easier in the HD remake.
Right, yeah, I'm looking forward to it again. Anything island and pirate and ships and you know, just that entire layout, I'm a big fan of. So I'm pretty excited to start that. Nikki's actually about 10 to 15 hours into it now. She's kind of jumps into it, jumps off, but she's currently playing it. But lastly, number 21 was not actually on my list. I've had this game. Continuing on with the Legend of Zelda, I didn't have this on my game list of games to play just because I'm picking and choosing which Zelda games I want to play. I'm only really playing the ones that I really want to play and get to know, simply because when I play Zelda games, they're fun, but they're very complex and intensive, and some people might be laughing. Again, keep in mind, listen, I am unashamed. I use walkthroughs and strategy guides when it comes to puzzle-based games, for sure.
Do what you gotta do.
And Zelda. Yeah, Zelda is no exception. And so, with that being said, whenever I do play these Zelda games, you know, for the most part, I'm having to watch some YouTube videos. I'm having to get some guides and some strategy guides, tips and tricks, just to progress, or else I would never finish one. These are just some things that are like, how would I ever know if I never looked this up? But yeah, Twilight Princess, number 21. Okay. I have to have it on the list. I have to. I'm going to be playing it on the GameCube. I love the GameCube, so I gotta play it on the GameCube. But Twilight Princess, it's just such a dark game. You got the wolf. You've got just a unique experience. And I'm like, let me throw it in. Let me finish it off for 2021. I don't know if it'll be the last game I play of 2021, but it'll probably be the last Zelda title I play in 2021. But yeah, that's my 21 list of games for 2021.
Yeah, not bad. I'm very happy you're going to be playing Twilight Princess. That is, I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about that game, but that is one that I enjoy a lot. For me, that was the first Wii game I ever had. And
oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I played it a ton. It's dark and I think it's a very good game. I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So,
can't wait.
Yeah. So I think I got one more thing that I think I want to hit on in this segment. We talked about it for a second in the past segment. Mm-hmm. SMT5, Shin Megami Tensei 5. Yes. I remember when that trailer came out for like not the first trailer that was so many years ago. I know a lot of I didn't have to go through this myself. I know a lot of SMT fans have been deprived of information for that game for so long. Atlas has an issue when it comes to announcing things way too early and just not giving out information, you know, for whatever reason. I think they maybe just get a little too excited sometimes. I don't know. But I'm talking about the trailer that came out this past year, 2020, the same time they announced the Nocturne remake. When you had the Tokyo just kind of just completely destroyed, and you have a Lucifer kind of descending and dropping the god that you know is Deadline. Like it's an incredible trailer for that game. It really stands out. I cannot wait to play that game.
Yeah, that was my introduction to the Shin Megami Tensei series. You know, apart from Persona, that was one of the games where I was able to watch the trailer when it was announced, get an understanding. Don't know if it's my cup of tea just yet, but I'm definitely excited for you for sure. Moving on to our next segment here, we're going to talk about some games we are excited for release. Now, Ethan might have already exhausted his list. He might have a few more. I'm not entirely sure, but I have some that have been announced for release for 2021, and there's some that there's some rumors that there might be some drops, but just to add it in, just to talk about and discuss. But you got any others to add?
Yeah, I actually got three things on here that are coming out in 2021 that I am excited for. Now, one of them I don't know for sure is coming out in 2021, but I believe it will. I don't know if you want me to just go through all of them now or we want to head back and forth here.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about them.
Okay, so first thing on my list is a game. This isn't going to be the title of the game, I don't think, but the current working title is Project Re-Fantasy. This is an Atlas publishing project, from what I have gathered.
Okay.
This was announced kind of similar like SMT5. This was announced a very, very long time ago, and there has not been a ton of news about it, but recently news has started coming out about this game again. In fact, about a week or so ago, the lead developer of the game came out and said the game is reaching the climax of its development, which means it's like almost done. And typically, like by Atlas standards, when they say something like that, typically a game like that is released in, 9 months later. Okay. Maybe not in America 9 months later, but at least in Japan 9 months later.
Right. That, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. No, see, I didn't know about it either until pretty recently. But, like, there is, like a very, like, a 3 or 4 minute long, like, kind of, like, proof of concept-ish trailer. Like, no gameplay or anything, just, like, an idea, kind of a trailer to it out there. If you have any interest in the game, I'd recommend definitely taking a look at it. It's pretty interesting. I genuinely cannot tell what this game is going to be exactly, but in between, you know, Persona and SMT and now Aegis Rim, if Atlas is willing to kind of put their name on something, I'm willing to at least look into it and see if it's something that's worth my time.
For sure. And with Atlas, you never know what you're going to get. You're going to get some quality stuff, but who knows with the concept, who knows what you're going to be getting.
Exactly. Yeah.
For sure.
Next on my list, we hit on this a little bit in the first episode, the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. This is supposed to be a re-release of the original trilogy. As I've talked about previously, Mass Effect 2, for the longest time, was my favorite game, like, ever. Up until, you know, I really got into Persona and whatnot. And I'm very excited to see these games get a modern release, you know, actually get to play these, you know, optimized for modern generations of consoles. Who knows, even maybe by then I might actually have, like an Xbox One or a PS5, I can actually, you know, really get to play these at peak performance. I'm very excited to see it. Now, obviously, it's BioWare, and BioWare, at least I believe BioWare is making this, and BioWare lately has been a little iffy. I'm hoping, you know, they can pull this off and get things, you know, get the ship righted and whatnot, but at least for this, I don't think you can really mess up something that already exists. And so I'm excited for what's going to come. And the last thing that I'm really looking forward to is Hogwarts Legacy. This was a game that got released not too long, or not released, got announced not too long ago, if I remember correctly.
I remember.
Right, yeah, the game set in the Harry Potter universe where you are a student at Hogwarts. I'm surprised it took this long for something like this to really come along, right? It's kind of weird that it took this long to get to this point. But it's cool that it's finally happening. I'm very excited to see how they pull this off. I want to really get my hands on it and go through a game like that.
Yeah, for sure. As someone who is not a Harry Potter fan, but respect it, I am a bit surprised as well, especially when I, you know, look at, you know, Harry Potter GameCube titles or PS2 titles, or just it has some history, and now we are just now getting a very the climax of what every Harry Potter video game fan would want. It seems like you know, a Harry Potter game in that context. I've seen some gameplay. It looks pretty good.
It does, yeah. You know, funny enough, we to bring it back to Fire Emblem for a second, you know, because it ties in here. A lot of people, when Three Houses came out, called it the best the best Harry Potter game. The way that the first half of that game operates, a lot of people always try to compare that to Harry Potter. It was very interesting comparison. You can kind of see what they're trying to make, like the parallels they're trying to draw there. But yeah, I mean, I've played some of the older Harry Potter games. Like I had like Chamber of Secrets and like Prisoner of Azkaban on like original Xbox, and I had like the Game Boy color like RPGs and whatnot.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them all right, but I wonder how much of that was me just being a kid and wanting to play Harry Potter games, and how much of that was them being actually good games, you know?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that game, and really all the other games that I have discussed up to this point.
So moving on to my list, only 2/3, one for sure has been announced. it actually does not have a release date of 2021, but it makes sense that it probably is. And that game is Pokemon Snap. Never played the original, but I'm going to be playing the original before this next one. But I'm very, like, everyone is surprised and very excited to have a Pokemon Snap game on the Switch, and how brilliant of an idea and the best console to put a Pokemon Snap game on, a Nintendo console. So I'm actually really excited to check out Pokemon Snap. It said when the trailer was announced that it is coming soon. I'm sorry, but if you're, you know, that tells me it's got to be coming in 2021. Like, you don't put coming soon and, you know, release it a year and a half later. So Right. That's on there. Now, these next two games have not been announced. They're just rumors at this point. One, we can kind of infer and hope realistically. One, maybe not so much, but Donkey Kong game. 2021 will be the 40th anniversary of Donkey Kong, and it sounds like a perfect time for a Donkey Kong game to be announced and released in 2021. We shall see. I don't know. Again, I've never played a Donkey Kong game, but I want to. I want to get more into the series, so keep them coming. And I've heard we might get a proper Kirby game. Again, this hasn't been announced or released as well, but we may or may not get another Kirby game. I've heard it's due time, so we'll see. I would love to see those games announced and released this year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think those would be some really, really fun games to play. I would love to see Kirby kind of return back to its kind of traditional games. You know, I didn't play, you know, the Robo one, but I enjoy, you know, like Nightmare and Dreamland in the games like that. So I would love to see it kind of go back to that, you know.
All right, moving on to our last segment. If we've already talked about the games we plan on playing, we're talking about the releases we are excited for. Lastly, we're going to talk about those fantasy desires we have. We want to see, out of nowhere, out of left field, get announced, get released in 2021. First one on my list is a Diamond and Pearl remake. Okay. It kind of makes sense, but probably not. I've heard some people throw out, like, Let's Go Johto's and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That might happen as well. But give me a Diamond and Pearl remake on the Switch. That'd be fantastic. And honestly, it's probably going to come at some point. It's probably not going to come in 2021. Maybe. I mean, isn't it like the 25th anniversary of Pokemon, though, this year?
Really? That would be interesting.
I think I heard that. It's a lot of anniversaries this year for a lot of series.
My next thing is going to hit on another 25th anniversary. Yeah. Okay. Just you wait. But yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of rumors about, you know, Let's Go Johto. And the Diamond and Pearl remakes would technically be what's next in line. You know, it's been really quiet since Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, but those are technically next in line, and I think they would do really well on the Switch, right?
Well is an understatement. I think it would do phenomenal, for sure.
I agree. Let's see here. You are right. 2021, 25th anniversary for Pokemon also.
There it is.
That is.
Boy, it's going to be an exciting year. Let's be honest. After coming out of 2020, sure, things might not change immediately, but with so many anniversaries and maybe the adapting to the climate of, you know, the world, we might see some great titles.
You'll probably hear something about this sooner rather than later if what I'm seeing here is accurate. Looks like the anniversary date is February 27th.
Oh,
yeah, like, so you might hear some.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you might hear some news pretty soon here. I think you might be onto something there. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if you see both Let's Go Johto and a Diamond and Pearl remake. Announced. Going big. Well, I mean, I've heard rumors for a while of, what was it? Let me see if I can remember correctly. I think it was like Omega Ruby, like Sun and Moon, and like X and Y, like being ported to the Switch. And none of those really kind of and like some other ones too, I think, but that none of those really like do it for me, you know, like not say that's bad. And I'm sure there are people that are interested in it, but I really think the remakes would really, really drive some numbers.
Oh yeah, but I'm just going to quote what you just said. You don't think it really does it for you. That's Nintendo saying we're going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're doing this.
We're doing it, and it's going to sell a lot regardless because everything that we do does. But we're going to do it anyways. Yep. You know. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, I think you were onto something with that one.
So yeah, bounce it back to you. What's first on your list?
So my first thing is, well, first things first, this year is going to be Persona's 25th anniversary.
Yes.
Yes. I believe that is coming in September. Okay. I've actually crafted. I'm going to take you guys on a ride for a second here. I've actually crafted something here. Well, the perfect anniversary like announced, because they've been teasing for a while now, like this year's going to be crazy Persona wise just because it's the anniversary and they're really like going all out in regards to it.
Interesting.
So I'm imagining like there's gonna be a big show where they announce a whole bunch of stuff and whatnot, and so yeah. First things first, this is all coming out like this is all announced same day, like this all happens at once.
Okay.
First things first, Persona 5 Arena gets announced. Another sequel to Persona 5. Like, and honestly, it'll probably be the last one. I really would like them to keep doing more sequels to Persona 5 because I enjoy that cast a lot. Mm-hmm. But seeing how they've handled, you know, previous cast, you know, they typically only do a few sequels and they move on. But this game has kind of blown up like a lot more than the previous games have. So maybe they do a few more sequels. So first things first, we get a Persona 5 Arena announcement. Then we finally get an announcement for a modern remake of Persona 3. Okay. Plus, if they're willing to do 1 and 2 like normal, like the current games, we can do that also. That's very contingent. I know I made a big deal about that last episode about how if they're not like current games, I don't really want to see it, but if they kind of make them in the vein of these games, then yeah, that then get those remakes too. So now we got Persona 5 Arena remakes for for 1, 2, and 3, or both 2s, and then the show ends with a Persona 6 announcement.
Oof. It would make sense. Let's see how accurate you are.
We'll check back in later. We'll definitely see if any. Actually, that might be a fun game. I know these are fantasy in a way, but
yeah, exactly.
But it might be fun to see how if any of these things actually comes true.
Right.
Kind of like a report card sort of a thing.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about how accurate the Nintendo Switch Pro, but I'm sure that'll be a future episode. But I already got the calendar set for your date that you gave me.
we'll talk about it in a few minutes, but we'll see.
Oh, okay, alrighty then. Number two on my list. I was thinking through, and I'm surprised this idea actually came about, but it is something I would love to see. It's a fantasy. True fantasy, but the Midnight Club series to come back. I know I talked a lot about in the first episode the childhood games that I grew up with, and that Midnight Club Double Edition. Absolutely love that game. I don't play very many racing games that much, even though I do enjoy them. But bring back Midnight Club. Simple as that. Bring back Midnight Club. Yeah. What's next on yours?
So next for me, we're going to go back to Fire Emblem for a second, because apparently I only ever talk about Persona and Fire Emblem.
I guess
fine
so.
With it. Fine with it.
Yeah.
So a few years ago, before Three Houses came out, the most recent Fire Emblem game was Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia. That was a remake of Fire Emblem Gaiden, which was the second Fire Emblem game.
Okay.
And when they made that game, they kind of established that Fire Emblem Echoes was going to be like the this, like, the phrasing they use if they ever remade games again. Like Echoes had its own team to remake that entire game. Like, from what I gathered, it wasn't the main team. I would like to see another Fire Emblem remake. Now, a lot of people debate whether it's going to be, like the Tellius games might get remade, if it's Genealogy of the Holy War that gets remade. I want to see, now see, we're on anniversaries again. This year, 15th anniversary of Fire Emblem Genealogy of the Holy War releasing.
Ooh.
I want to see Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of the Holy War get released.
Jeez, okay. That would be a big announcement.
I think so.
Okay, nice. Number three on my list, you might get a kick out of this one. Give us a good open world, free to roam Yu-Gi-Oh game on the Switch.
Okay, yeah, we're bringing it back.
Give us a proper Yu-Gi-Oh game. Don't give us this crappy Legacy of the Duelist on the Switch where there's not even a story. There, you can't roam around.
Right.
It's not a true RPG. There's no open world. One game that I'm always reminded of when it comes to the Yu-Gi-Oh! Series that I absolutely love because of those aspects is on the PlayStation 2, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, the beginning of Destiny. It was an open world-ish, free-to-roam-ish story role-playing game in the Yu-Gi-Oh! realm. And I really enjoyed it. And I would love for them to, you know, what better console to do that than the Switch? And actually thinking about it now, out of all games they actually did that with, and I think has been released or will soon be released, is Bakugan. This past year they announced and showed a trailer of like a free to roam RPG style Bakugan game. I'm like, are you serious right now? Where's the Yu-Gi-Oh getting love at?
I agree with you here. I mean, I talked about it in the first episode. I think Yu-Gi-Oh, I don't know about the other generations of the show, but at least like the first like anime series, I think Yu-Gi-Oh would do very well from like a Dragon Ball Z Kakarot treatment of just a game that kind of retells that story, or even if you don't want to do that, just like its own, like a open world game that tells its own story, like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Yumi, you have like a side story where you have some of the characters show up, but you know, you play like as like an avatar or something that you make and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential there. I don't know why they, I mean, I think I know why. You can release like a new one each year and you don't have to put a lot of work into it, and it'll probably sell well. But I think you put a little bit more work in, you make a game like this, I think you really have something like good on your hands.
Yeah, and I think back onto like, you know, why they have been, you look at the Game Boy Advance and the DS, like there was a Yu-Gi-Oh game almost every year, and some were pretty good, some were not. You had PSP, had the Tag Force series. You had a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh games, but that was at its peak. Right. That was when it was pretty popular. You know, and it made sense. Now, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh, yeah, people know Yu-Gi-Oh, but it's not as popular, unfortunately. So I think we're seeing less and less games and quality of games. It makes sense, but that's why it's a fantasy.
Right. Yeah, that is unfortunate. The window might have passed for it, but I think it would have been really good. You're definitely right there.
The thing is, too, is like, do you really have an excuse? Because you released a Yu-Gi-Oh game on the Switch. Like, you're literally still making these games with the cards inside the physical
card. They clearly sell, yeah. So.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. It's a little disappointing to see. I mean, who knows? We could be wrong. Maybe, you know, there is still a demand for it. But, and, you know, possibly something like this could happen. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think this is something that should absolutely happen.
For sure. What's next on your list?
So yeah, this is my last thing. Me and you, we're probably going to disagree on this one a little bit.
Okay.
So we've discussed this in the past a bit. I think this one actually might happen, but I want it to happen too. I want there to be a Switch Pro announcement this year.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I do.
Oh, yes.
I do want this to happen.
Oh, yes.
I want, this is the fantasy, though. I want Switch Pro to be announced September-ish this year, because I've gone and I've researched the trends of how Nintendo kind of handles these things, and they don't do this always, but a lot of times in the past, they'll announce like something and then like they'll be ready to have it go in like 3 months or even less sometimes. And so like my idea is they announce it like September-ish to have it ready for holidays 2021, which I think would be I think is a smart business idea. But here's that's really not that exciting. Just, you know, Switch Pro, who like that's cool and all, but who really cares about that on its own? Here's where the fun really comes in. The same time Switch Pro is announced, Breath of the Wild 2 gets the official release date at the same time, and it's also coming out holiday 2021. So Switch Pro, Breath of the Wild 2 comes out holiday 2021.
Right.
And they are both announced in September-ish, around that time. I don't know when exactly, but around that time.
Right. It makes sense, but when has Nintendo ever operated on, you know what, this makes sense.
I know.
Let's do it.
I know. And I know. It's tough. It's tough to try. I try to look at their trends and whatnot to try to base. I'm like, it's literally holidays 2021. And you've had this unit out for 4 years now. I don't know how much. I can't remember how long the light has been out. Maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. But you have reached the point where it is about, in my opinion at least, others may disagree, but I think it is time where you do need to put out a pro unit to, you know, to get the specs a little bit higher on it. I think, you know, 4 years into the life cycle, and it sounds like Nintendo wants the life cycle of the Switch to be 8 years. I think halfway through is the time where you need to put out the upgraded unit. I think the perfect time to do that is to release the sequel to probably the biggest game that has come out on that game. I think that's really going to drive unit sales. I mean, obviously now we're starting to get into the business, a little less exciting of it. But I mean, that's kind of what drives my thinking here. I think that's why I think it's a fantasy, because they keep saying it's not going to happen. And Breath of the Wild 2 just keeps not having a release date. But I think this is something that could realistically happen.
Yeah. I think so as well. And we've talked about this. I don't want it to happen, because then I have the pressure of, now I have to buy this. Mm-hmm. I still have a 21 games on my backlog. Well, by that point, hopefully I'll be close to done. But we've talked about this as well. I want my 2022 year to be, and I've decided this officially, nothing but GameCube and Switch titles. Like 2022 for me, I'm going full throttle Nintendo. It's not going to be the trend every year, but I want to catch up on GameCube titles. I want to catch up on Switch titles, because I've kind of just have a backlog of just so many different things, a lot of classics, but I'm getting behind on the Switch, and I want to be up to date on that.
Well, I mean, you don't have to buy it. I know you could feel the pressure to it, but you don't have to. Like it's not a, they're for not going to hold a gun. Nintendo's not going to come to your house and hold a gun to your head and then. Well, maybe they will. It's Nintendo.
It's Nintendo.
they're probably not gonna. So, but I bet I get where you're coming from on it. You know, if something new is out, you want it, and as long as it's not there, you know, you can't not buy it. So you're good to go. You don't have to worry about it.
Right, and I do pretty good on not giving into that buyer's need of, you know, updates on every single thing. I'll wait, you know, when I need to wait. But the same holds true for like the Nintendo titles. Like, you know, the more Nintendo Switch titles that, you know, keep getting announced, I'm like, crap, there's more games I keep adding to the wish list, will eventually be on the backlog when, you know, there's a reoccurring thing. But again, I don't have to buy it right then, and I probably won't, and that's okay, and I'm pretty content with that. I've got plenty of games to play. But We'll see. I'm very curious. Again, I wrote it down on my calendar. September, I'm waiting for the announcement.
We'll see. I think it makes sense to me. Again, and that could be what ends up making it not happen because it makes sense to me, but that's kind of where we're at here.
Exactly. So to finish off my fantasy release list, number four, it's not one game. It's not one console. It's actually the GameCube and Game Boy Advance virtual consoles for the Switch.
Okay. Yeah.
Bring it to us.
But Brian, you're skipping the Nintendo 64 virtual console.
I know. Intentionally.
Whoa, intentionally. We've never had this topic,
this conversation before. Well, I love the N64, but by the time this fantasy release ever actually happens, which again, it probably won't, I will have already pretty much played all of the classics on the N64, so okay. Won't really care to visit. Again, very selfish of me, one-sided, just thinking about me.
Right.
You know, who cares about all the other people that want the N64
right.
Virtual console? But yeah, that's what I want.
I get it. Yeah, 100%. I'm starting to wonder if Nintendo will actually ever even go back to the virtual console, method.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they seem to enjoy their whole just putting out, like, their NES, SNES catalog like they do on the Switch. I'm starting to wonder if that might just be their move. Like, hey, we're going to make you sign up to our service so that you... But when you do that, you have access to... Hey, you do that and you get access to the GameCube catalog, you know, by doing that. And they'll occasionally put some titles like here and there for sale. Right. We're talking about Fire Emblem again. Like Fire Emblem, they finally released it in America for the first time, like the first game. It never came out in America and it finally just did. They could have just stuck it on the NES catalog, but no, they sold it for they sold it for like $5.99, but they sold it nonetheless, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like, it seems like they're kind of moving away from the virtual console in a way and just selling like some big titles, one off here and there, and kind of just transitioning to the catalog. Now, I would love to see the virtual console come back. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah. And it kind of does still exist with the NES and the SNES. You know, they don't have all the titles, but, you know, do the same thing for the Advance. And I think it's done really well for the, specifically the Wii U, where the console didn't do very well, but the virtual console did. But now we're looking at the Switch, where the console itself is doing really well, but now the virtual console isn't doing the best. I don't know.
And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, the Nintendo 64, actually, I think it was on the original virtual console. I think it was already there. So actually, I think the GameCube one is actually in line next. So I think you're on point there that would be next. Actually, now that I think about it, you might want to grab your 3DS sometime, because I think you might find some old... I pull up the eShop, you might find some old virtual console Game Boy games on there too. They might have pulled, I don't know how many of them they did, but they pulled some of them in there. Mm-hmm. I know you can find like classic Pokemon on there a lot.
Yeah, which I didn't know that until like I got a 3DS. I'm like, why is this not talked about enough? Or maybe I'm just not in the circles of where it's being talked about. But boy, that's big. Imagine if that happened for the Switch.
Yeah, it would be. I don't know why they feel so reluctant to get... We're just going to keep saying it. I don't know why Nintendo does this, but I don't know why they feel so reluctant they had this infrastructure set up. They had it and it was doing really well, at least from what I gathered. People seem to universally love it, to just not have it implemented onto the Switch when it came out. And up to this point, we're 4 years later, it still has not come out on it. It's really odd. I can't figure it out.
Again, with all these speculations, I always laugh at people speculating Nintendo. I'm just like, do you really know? What formula are you using? Because they don't have a formula. They work on their own.
Yeah. Okay. I hope you are 100% right here, because I think it would be a lot of fun to get access to these games. I mean, because as it stands now, it's just so hard. you got to buy them physically, or you have to emulate them.
Which?
One of the two. You know, purists want to buy them physically, and that's so expensive to do. If you make them readily accessible, you know, through a virtual console or at least a catalog of some kind, just something, you'll at least kind of help with that issue and kind of make it just make your games, your classic games, more accessible.
You know, I didn't realize this until just now. If they ever did come out with the GameCube like virtual console, that would have a big impact on the prices of these GameCube games.
They would plummet. I think. Yeah, they would plummet because like anybody can just like you know, that's it's cool that like I don't know what's like Path of Radiance is really expensive, but it's like $9.99 on the virtual console. So yeah, I'd like to have it physically, but I don't need to have it physically. I can just get the virtual console one, and you know, once the price drops, then I can go get it physically. Yeah, it would. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would absolutely just like that market would probably plummet. So yeah, I mean, I don't know why they keep doing this, but again, I think we're gonna keep asking that question to the end of time.
Yes, we will. Any final thoughts on today's episode?
No, I mean, I think I got one. I really hope that every single one of our predictions comes true. I hope we're all. Yes. You know, just like fortune tellers in a bit of a way. I think it'll be pretty interesting. I actually would kind of like to take a look at our predictions. Maybe, I guess, maybe in like in our 2021, like retrospective, maybe, and see how many of these actually came true.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
For sure. We'll see. But that'll wrap up today's episode. I do hope you enjoy our 2021 goals and the games we really want to play. I've got a big goal with 21 games. Ethan's got some top games on his list. It's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a really fun year. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at PYW Podcast and Instagram at The PYW Podcast. If you want some more gaming content, I do stream very randomly, but usually pretty consistently on Friday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays. Currently playing Persona 5 Royal. We'll be moving on to the backlog that you just heard, actually. I'll be playing these games on stream. Feel free to check me out on Twitch at M4Miller. That is the letter M, the number 4, Miller. But that'll conclude today's episode. Y'all take care.
Yeah, see ya.